Stevensville Town Council meeting, special town council meeting for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019, at 7 o'clock. Before we move on with the rest of the agenda, just quickly, as a matter of housekeeping, please, if you plan to make public comment, make sure you sign the sign-in sheet. Same routine as always. Sign the sign-in sheet and then step forward to the podium when it's time for public comment. Undoubtedly, this will be a meeting with some contention. I know everyone probably has some opinions about what they'd like to share. If at any time the meeting gets disorderly or we lack decorum, become disruptive, or lack respect for one another, including the council members and myself, I'll adjourn and we'll go home. It's that simple. The public is certainly, and the citizens are certainly invited to participate in a constructive way, and it's my job to make sure that that happens as best I can. So, with that, if you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first item for consideration by the council is approval of the biweekly claims. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the biweekly claims number 15223 and 15274.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve the biweekly claims. Claims numbers 15223 through 15274. Discussion from council. Ms. Holcomb.
I know it's not part of the claims, but when will we have a copy of the audit?
We have that copy. It just came in the mail yesterday, I believe.
Okay.
And we're waiting to schedule a meeting or schedule the auditors to come present that audit to the council. So I know that the primary auditor that was on our audit has been out of town on vacation. As soon as he gets back, which should be soon, we can get that meeting scheduled. So I would expect that an audit presentation would be no later than the end of this month.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Further questions on the claims from council? Public comment. Mr. Cruz.
Now it's a little bit late, but did you call roll call?
The record can reflect that Mr. Michelson, Ms. Holcomb, and Ms. Barker are in attendance. Further public comment on the claims? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Correspondence tonight is quite lengthy, and so I'm not going to read it because it's several pages, and then there's another maybe 100 or so pages of exhibits with it. In summary, it is a settlement offer from Dotsopoulos, McDonald & Lind, PC, signed by Nathan Wagner, an attorney representing Audrey Tribency. And it's in summary, it agrees to release the town and its insurers in exchange of payment of $500,000. The offer expires on the 5th of July and is in regards to constructive discharge. If there are any questions on that letter from the public, it will be incorporated in the meeting minutes as part of the packet. And you can request a copy of that from Town Hall if you so choose. Move on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the Town of Stevensville. Again, please sign the sign-in sheet at the door and then step to the podium and make your comment. Remember to please keep comments civil and courteous. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Montana.
I actually have an issue with the agenda item of the Audrey Tribizine issue. That is in the town attorney's purvey and the state's protection of the town purvey. The fact that the mayor released a confidential communication between the town's attorney and a council member, that if you have the agenda in front of you, lists it as a confidential, not for public release. This was a communication between the town's attorney and a council member. I don't know who released that information, but that was totally illegal. The fact that we are even having a discussion regarding this matter is illegal, because it again is in the attorney for the town that protects us from this, and also the MMIA purvey that protects the town of Stevensville from litigious lawsuits and such. The fact that there was an investigation done by the town that found that there was no realistic issue with her accusations, because again, she did not follow the policy of the town that was set forth. For all of this information to be put out there and to be even discussed tonight is ridiculous. It should be with the town's attorney, Brian West, in MMIA, who protects us as a community from these frivolous lawsuits such as this.
Further public comment? Mr. Tadnik.
Jim Tadnik, 509 Mission Street. I'd like to make a couple of comments. First, how many residents had their water turned off at the curb during this water crisis?
This is an opportunity for comment, not dialogue.
Okay. I know one of the gentlemen that had his water turned off during the middle of the night. He was a paraplegic recovering from gunshot wounds. He has two small children and a wife that is pregnant. The baby is due in October. He went to bed with running water and woke up with no water. It had been turned off at the curb during the middle of the night. No written notification whatsoever. No verbal communication whatsoever. He had no idea that there was water restrictions. You're probably saying that's impossible. There was news conferences on the town's website, Facebook, local papers. You even had the audacity of charging him a $50 re-hookup fee. He and his wife are dealing with so many issues, this was the last thing that they needed. I feel that the town needs to refund them the $50 for sure, and an apology. This is not Stevensville. We don't do that to people. My neighbor turned her water on Monday morning to water the lawn. She had no idea. She's a younger person. She said she went to work, I went over and turned off the water. She said she had no idea that there was a water crisis. There's a lot of people in this town that are the same way. We need to have a better form of communication. And putting flyers on the door, something like that, you know. And I verified all of this with the gentleman's mother-in-law this morning. Thank you.
Further public comment. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Montana, 59870. And this may be appropriate, Mr. Mayor, but Mr. Tadnik, who was that individual that had his water turned off?
Mr. Smith, please direct your comment to the council or to the chair.
Who was that individual that had his water turned off? Was it not the officer that was just shot?
No, it was not the officer. It was not the officer.
This is public. This is public comment period. It's not a time for dialogue.
Ms. Casey.
Public comment. Ms. Tadvik.
Well, to address the elephant in the room, the roll call should have included Mr. Cruz tonight. He has been sworn in by a judge. You did not do roll call as you usually do roll call when you ask Mr. Michelson, Ms. Holcomb, Ms. Barker, and now Councilman Cruz. I believe that he has been sworn in to this county by a judge, and it has been recorded in Hamilton, and I believe he owns that seat over there for 4 months. Whether we like this situation or not, he was selected by the council who followed the rules of this council. He is to be seated at that chair. That's legal. It's binding, and you have no right not to allow him to sit in there. Thank you.
Further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item A, 7A of new business. Discussion decision, mayor's veto of council's appointment of James V. Cruz to Ward 2 council's vacancy. If you'd allow me to introduce the item briefly. Mm-hmm. There's a substantial amount of backup documentation in your packet tonight in regards to the veto. The veto itself is there, and Mr. West's opinion, and then my response to those opinions is also included. The reason I'm asking you to decide on the veto tonight is whether the veto is binding or not, as if you want to consider it the equivalent of a badly written parking ticket, that's fine. But nonetheless, it does exist and needs to go through a process. And so that's why it's on your agenda tonight. Process is that you either confirm or override that veto, and then take your action from there as how you proceed. Mr. Michelson.
I move that the mayor's veto be invalidated as it is not a legal veto.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb that the mayor's veto of the appointment of James B. Cruz be invalidated. Is that accurate, Mr. Michelson?
That is accurate, sir.
Okay, council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
When you did do this veto, you were telling everybody that you vetoed a resolution. We didn't even put a resolution together that night. So you did not veto a resolution. And the only thing a mayor can veto is a resolution or the ordinance. And neither one of them fell in the legal area why you did this veto.
And I'd refer you back to the letter I addressed to council in the packet where it said, it is apparent that Montana's legal definition of a resolution that is a order by the governing body that a specific action be taken is equivalent to what happened under the Municipal Code Section 2-118, where council made a motion to appoint Mr. Cruz, seconded the motion, discussed the motion, and voted to pass the motion. While the action lacked formal documents normally associated with the resolution, it nonetheless was an order by the council that specific action be taken. And that references Montana Code 714121, subsection 22. The council voted to appoint Mr. Cruz to the council, and Montana Code does not require that the order be a formal document necessarily. That was my rationale behind considering your decision a resolution. You resolved to make a decision. Ms. Barker.
I feel that if Judge O'Connor did not feel that it was appropriate, she would not have sworn him in. Same thing with Brian. You keep saying Brian West says it's an opinion. He has ruled that it is official, that this veto does not bind, like you say it is.
Again, Brian hasn't ruled anything. Brian doesn't rule. Brian submits an opinion. His job as an attorney is to submit opinions. Judges make rulings. Just to clarify that. Mr. Michelson.
I received an email from Brian today. He wanted me to read to everybody. Gentlemen, yesterday Bob requested I respond in writing regarding communication from Brandon to Jim Cruz for tonight's special meeting. Forgive me, I do not have time to put this into memo form, but I wanted to respond in some fashion, having spoken with both of you on the phone and voicing my opinion. Brandon forwarded me the email he sent, which I summarize as advising Jim that the mayor would not recognize him at the meeting until he produced court order sanctioning his appointment. But he has welcome to attend the meeting as a citizen. I acknowledge at this outset that the mayor disagrees with my legal opinion concerning his veto of the appointment. My opinion is that Jim Cruz is a member of the Stephenville Town Council by the council's June 13th appointment despite the mayor's protest. If you refer to the memo issued last Monday, I referenced the Wilson case, which states the two conditions for appointment are confirmation by the legislative body and taking of the oath without any requirement of approval by the mayor. Those conditions have been met, and Mr. Cruz should be permitted to vote on behalf of Ward 2. If there is issues with the process the council used, that is for the voters and public to address more so than the mayor to prevent a member from taking his seat. There is a secondary issue of the mayor's veto. Again, my position was that the veto has no legal force, and therefore the council is not obligated to overturn it. Brandon, you have disagreed with my position referencing other council opinions. I would welcome you to provide the other person's opinion support regarding the veto issue if you want to disclose it. Your email suggested that Mr. Cruz is required to provide a court decision to be seated, but I believe the burden is on you for challenging the party. You're the one should bring the matter before the court. You're the one challenging the ruling, not Mayor Cruz, or not Jim Cruz, for either injunction relief or an action seeking to void the decision of the council. In other words, absent an order voiding this decision, it stands. This brings us to tonight's meeting. The mayor wishes to have the council consider his veto, which I anticipate they will not do, at least in the sense of voting to override it. And because of my opinion that the mayor cannot use veto powers outside of a legislative act, the mayor does not wish to acknowledge Mr. Cruz, despite my opinion, and is considering his further action on the matter. This disagreement could derail the meeting, and that could mean the decisions which need to be made might not be. I believe that in the spirit of civility and decorum, there is a means to carry out the meeting, which is to say that there would be either a formal verbal or written statement that Mr. Cruz will be seated and vote. However, the mayor contests the seating for the reasons stated in his veto or any other reason he wishes to put on to the public. The mayor can advise the council of his concerns that if the June 13th appointment were vetoed, were voided, any votes cast by Jim would additionally be called into question. The mayor would have his public position clearly stated for the record, and the council would have their Ward 2 appointee at the table. Again, I acknowledge the difference in opinions in the legal process leading into this meeting, but I believe it is incumbent on both the mayor and the council, out of respect for another and out of duty to the citizens, to complete the town's business and not let a disagreement about Jim Cruz taking his seat derail the meeting. I believe a sufficient record can be made of the mayor's disapproval to permit him to take whatever future action he wishes in the future, and that the council should afford him the opportunity to make his future actions he wishes, and that the council should afford him opportunity to make his position clear beyond his veto statement made today. I hope you're all able to accommodate your disagreements in a civil matter tonight and able to conduct the meeting without conflict. Sincerely, Brian West. For the record.
Further discussion from council?
I'd just like to make a comment. When I was appointed to this table, when I first got here, my name was nowhere on the agenda. It just said that the council was going to be appointing a new council person to the chair. I didn't even know I was going to be appointed that night. I just so happened to be at that meeting that night because I knew the council was going to be appointing someone. My name was nowhere on that agenda.
And we have found in our records that there are inconsistencies between some appointments and others. There are some appointments who state a name. There are some who don't. I think the issue, at least around part of this discussion or this appointment, is that the candidate withdrew his candidacy and then at a subsequent meeting was appointed. And I don't think that the citizens were aware that that was going to happen. That's not necessarily a ruling, that's my opinion. And I've provided the basis for my rationale there. Further council discussion on invalidating the veto. All right, hearing none, I will call for public comment. Again, make sure you sign the sign-in sheet, keep your comments civil and orderly. Please step to the podium, state your name and address. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, 59870. Again, I have a hard time with, we have a town attorney to help us wade through these issues. The town attorney has rendered his opinion, if you wish to call it that, or his decision. That decision states that you, Mr. Mayor, unfortunately, are not following the law, that you are disregarding the attorney that the town pays $85 an hour for his opinions and or decisions. We have relied on them for several years now, and we have never had a situation where the mayor fires that attorney when the decision wasn't rendered in their favor. The fact of the matter that you are presently tonight on this agenda trying to move forward with another attorney, and again I get back to what I have stated before to you, there are roles and responsibilities, there are laws. Under our form of government in Stevensville, unfortunately our mayor is a weak mayor. The council has the power. Their power is to hire and fire the attorney, not you. The fact that you have decided to bring forward a nomination for a new town attorney because the decision rendered wasn't in your favor without having any council member present during those interviews, again, we, by law, you have overstepped your role and responsibility. Again, I get back to, there are rules. The fact of the matter that we hired this attorney, Brian West, to protect our community from litigious lawsuits, and you are refusing to take his opinion or decision, to me, really boggles the mind. And as a constituent, how much money have we wasted on attorney opinions over this? Because we have much bigger issues in this community. We have a water crisis right now.
We have three wells that aren't operating, or two wells, or I don't really know, to be honest, but we have a water crisis situation going on. We have a situation elsewhere within, we're being sued, again, because somebody didn't follow policy or procedure, and then released confidential and private emails, to me, is just unfathomable. And for you to sit here and try to blame counsel for these issues, again, boggles my mind. As a constituent, I'm paying my taxes for a reason, and right now I do not feel my money is being utilized to fulfill our responsibilities as a community.
Further public comment. Motion on the floor is to invalidate the veto. Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Underwood, thanks for your service. Good evening, members, council members, and mayor. This commentary is regarding Mayor Dewey's assumption that a council decision is likened to a formal resolution. The mayor's powers are defined by the state legislature, and the town council may not add or detract from these. These are listed in a Montana code annotated and the Stephenville Municipal Code. Specific power in question is the mayor's power of the veto. 73214 Montana code annotated, mirrored by the veto power under the Stephenville Municipal, or under the Stephenville structural sub-options. 73214, veto power, the executive, to veto ordinances and resolutions subject to override by two-thirds vote of the commission. Mayor Dewey has claimed that a resolution is a motion that has been passed by the members of the meeting of the council. Reference email from Brandon Dewey to Council President Michelson and Town Attorney Brian West, dated 6/21/19. In fact, a resolution is defined under 2-83 Stephenville Municipal Code as the following, and is considered the legal definition for the purposes of the Stephenville Municipal Code. The same Stephenville Municipal Code whereby Mayor Dewey is claiming to have veto authority over what he claims is a resolution. Section 2-83. Perhaps if you would, maybe you'll pull that up on the town ordinance, section 2-83. A resolution is a statement of town policy and may be adopted at a single meeting of the town council, provided, however, that resolutions adopting or amending the town's budget and resolutions setting usage, license, and permit fees shall be adopted only after notice given in accordance with MCA 714127 and a public hearing held thereon. Resolutions shall be approved by the mayor or the person acting in the mayor's stead and shall be numbered sequentially and filed by the town clerk in a resolution book to facilitate future access. There was no resolution enacted by the council. No resolution was written, none was numbered, none was signed by the mayor nor the clerk, nor was one entered into the resolution book as required by 2-83 Stephenville Municipal Code. Further, the mayor does not have any other veto power, either under Stephenville Municipal Code or the Montana Code annotated. Mayor Dewey is claiming veto power via 2-4, subsection 6, Stephenville Municipal Code, which states powers. The mayor is the chief executive officer of the town and has the power to approve all ordinances and resolutions of the council adopted by it, and in case the same do not meet his approbation, to return same to the next regular meeting of the council with his objections in writing. No ordinance or resolution so vetoed by the mayor shall go into effect unless the same is afterwards passed by two-thirds vote of the whole number of the members of the council. Further requirements for resolutions are found under state law as follows. 75-121, resolution requirements. All resolutions shall be submitted in the form prescribed by the resolution of the governing body. Resolutions may be submitted and adopted at a single meeting of the governing body. And three, after passage and approval, all resolutions shall be entered into the minutes and signed by the chairperson of the governing body. Again, under the structural sub-options, the citizens of Stephenville have selected the following. 7-3214, veto power, the executive may, 2, veto ordinances and resolutions subject to override by 2/3 vote of the commission. There is no provision or assignment of power to the mayor of the town of Stephenville to veto a decision of the council outside the realm of a resolution or ordinance. Mayor Dewey further brings to this special meeting the veto as an agenda item contrary to the Stephenville Municipal Code and the Montana Code Annotated. Under 7-5-4206 Montana Code Annotated, procedure to veto ordinance or resolution, 1, in case of an ordinance or resolution does not meet the mayor's approbation, the mayor has power to return the same to the next meeting of the council with all objections in writing. No ordinance or resolution so vetoed by the mayor must go into effect until the same be afterwards passed by 2/3 vote of the whole number of members of the council. 2, if the mayor fails to return any resolution or ordinance as aforesaid, the same takes effect without further action. A veto may only be addressed at a regular meeting of the council. However, there was no resolution as defined by Stephenville Municipal Code or the MCA to veto. Therefore, it should not be an agenda item, and the town's financial resources should not be wasted by this venture. Council, I implore you not to vote to either confirm or deny the mayor's veto of the council seat appointment, and it is not within the authority of the mayor to veto, as annotated numerous times by the town attorney. By voting either way, you could be setting a precedent that would allow this or any subsequent mayor the presumption of authority to veto any council decision or motion on the floor. This veto is not valid, as the mayor is not vetoing a resolution as defined either in Montana Code Annotated or Stephenville Municipal Code. It was not returned to a regular meeting as required by the Stephenville Municipal Code and the Montana Code. I have been sworn in as a member of the town council by a sitting judge. I am listed on the county website as the person holding Ward 2 seat vacated by Jerry Phillips until the results of the next election. The town's attorney has told me and council that I am a member of the town council. I submit that being sworn with my oath of office on file, that I am a legal office holder, and who are you, Mr. Mayor, can prove otherwise. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
For the record. Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, and this goes to the swearing in of Mr. Cruz. The fact of the matter that Mr. Cruz was not afforded the opportunity that every council member and mayor prior was afforded to be sworn in the town council area. The fact that they had to swear Mr. Cruz in outside of town hall to me is unacceptable. No matter what people may or may not say about Mr. Cruz, he was duly appointed by our council. He was sworn in by our own judge. There is an opinion or decision by the town's attorney that stated it was all within legal boundaries. And for Mr. Cruz to have to succumb to being sworn in out on the front steps of our town hall for whatever reason, to me, is unacceptable and actually opens us up to liability under the law. And I'm grateful to Mr. Cruz that he doesn't seek restitution for the disrespect and I'll say it's slander, is activity that prevented him from receiving his due justice
order, Mr.
as a
Mayor,
council member.
The speaker's comments are out of line as they do not pertain to the motion on the floor.
Okay. So further public comment on the veto. Further council discussion. Okay, hearing none, the motion on the floor is to invalidate the veto of the appointment of James V. Cruz. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Move on to Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to have Mr. Cruz be seated at the table, please.
Decorum, please.
Exactly. Try some once.
Decorum, please. Move on to discussion decision, consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott Owens as city attorney. Mr. Owens' legal services proposal is in your packet. As explained in a previous email to the council, given the developments over the past several weeks, in my own analysis of the attorney's position, I changed the strategy, I suppose, the way I was proceeding with an attorney's appointment. Under Montana law, the attorney is appointed by the mayor with approval of the council. That's what's before you tonight. And so you've got the appointment of Mr. Owens before you. Mr. West is holding over until an appointment is confirmed by the council, which I hope is sooner rather than later. I have had the opportunity to discuss on a couple of occasions the dynamics of the town and the needs of the town with Mr. Owens. And I have met him, and the chief of police has also met him in person. Unfortunately, his current working schedule doesn't permit him to be here tonight. But nonetheless, I'd like to put the appointment forward, knowing that it is in the interests of the town of Stevensville. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to read a short letter that you wrote to Mr. West on June 24th. Dear Mr. West, as you are aware, the town of Stevensville got solicited proposals for a legal services contract. Request for proposals sought an individual or firm to serve in the capacity of town attorney. You currently hold a legal services contract with the town of Stevensville, which expires June 30th, 2019. While the contract allows for auto-renewal, you and I have previously discussed the dynamics around the request for proposal. The town was fortunate to receive proposals for legal services, which you have likely had the opportunity to review. I have decided not to renew your contract with the town. My decision of non-renewal is based upon recent observations of performance and your ability to advise the town regarding matters of liability process and litigation. I appreciate the service that you have provided the town through past and current administrations and councils. My question to you is, this sounds pretty blatant. You don't want to renew his contract because he didn't go your way with Mr. Cruz.
That's not true.
I think it is.
That's your opinion. Ms. Parker.
I think that I remember at the last meeting that we asked to have a special meeting for these particular appointments of the attorneys, Mr. Scott Owens and Mr. Brian West. And we asked you for direction of that, to set the meeting, and I believe that a comment came back by Mr. West that a suggestion of Monday, Mr. Michelson also, and then you told me that there was no decision on it, so you went ahead and moved forward. We had two attorneys. That's the council's decision to make those two attorneys. I think they should have both been on here, not just one.
Mr. Cruz.
Okay, my understanding of this was a wording of a contract. You received bids and they were open at the last regular council meeting, and is that correct?
They were opened at a meeting previous to June 13th.
Previous to June 13th.
And then on June 13th, both of those proposals were on the agenda for council's review. At that time, we agreed that we'd hold a special meeting of the council the following week to so that the council could meet both of the candidates and ask whatever questions they wanted to ask of the candidates. However, subsequently, based on the availability of both of the proposals and of council members and myself, there was no date that week that was going to work. And with the July 1st date looming on us, I made the decision to forego involving the council in any sort of interview with the two applicants or proposals and pushing forward my appointment. Ms. Holcomb.
I sent you an email Wednesday prior of this week asking you to please hold a special meeting for Monday so we could make this decision. So I never received anything back on yay or nay or what your decision was. I never received an email back stating why you wouldn't set one up for Monday. I mean, it would have given us a chance to talk to both of them or one of them or something.
Again, there were a number of scheduling issues. Are you speaking of this Monday or are you speaking of the previous Monday?
This Monday. Well, because I even brought, well, you did bring up the email several days later from when I requested at our last meeting if you would please hold a meeting the following week so we can talk to both of them. And then when that didn't happen, I sent you an email last Wednesday suggesting that you do a special meeting for Monday of this week so we can do it, and I never received anything back. So it just boggles me that you would just move forward and we didn't even have a chance to even talk to either one of them.
And I empathize with those feelings. I found that scheduling a meeting during the summertime with the number of people involved who are has proven difficult, especially when 48-hour notice is required, and that proves challenging. It's not ideal, and I would entertain that if you don't want to consent to an outright appointment of Mr. Owens, that perhaps if you'd like to just do an interim appointment for 6 months, so that you can test drive the attorney, so to speak, and have an opportunity to get to know him, then you're not locked into a 2-year appointment, and you can reevaluate at that time. But nonetheless, the process can go either way. Where I thought we had time, that time quickly ran out to incorporate the council's input into that decision. So, I've offered the appointment. I've put the appointment on the agenda consistent with the requirements, and I'm seeking your consent just as I would any other officer of the town. Mr. Michelson.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mayor, but we've had Mr. West for 8 years now, correct?
Approximately.
Okay. We've had an attorney for 8 years. We've got to know him. Previous mayors, previous council members, he knows the MCA codes pretty well. And this new attorney has come right out and said that he knows very little or nothing about MCA codes. But you're willing to hire him over Brian West, who knows MCA codes. Can you give me a reason for that?
He's never said that he doesn't know MCA codes. He's an attorney.
It's in the writing.
He can interpret
very little
any.
He said about MCA codes, and he would like to go to school to learn. That was in his resume.
He knows plenty of MCA codes. In fact, he shared with both the chief of police and myself that he's very comfortable taking on the prosecuting duties of the position. He does lack some experience in municipal council, where dealing with town councils. He has some experience, but he lacks the experience Mr. West has. I think the rationale of staying with an attorney because they've been with us for 8 years and they can, you know, they seem to be able to interpret law. Certainly, we could make that same argument for Ms. Worthington before her contract was terminated, and we brought on Mr. West. And certainly the attorney before her. based on my daily interactions and the input of both of the department heads and the rest of the administration. This isn't a decision that I just arbitrarily make. It's certainly not based on certain opinions or anything like that. It's based on the interests of the town, and I think that a new face in the city attorney's office is warranted. Ms. Holcomb.
With everything that's going on right now, do you think it's wise that we bring someone in that doesn't know anything that is going on at this present moment? I mean, that we keep the attorney that knows what we're going through right now? I mean, we got a lot of legal stuff that's happening right now, and to bring someone in that has no clue.
The two legal issues that the town's undertaking right now relate to water rights and the employment settlement. The employment settlement has been referred to other legal counsel by MMIA, and so it is not being addressed through Brian's office. And the water rights are being addressed through a water rights attorney, not Brian's office. And Mr. Owens and Mr. West have both discussed strategies for transition and with each other, and it seems like they have an understanding there, as Brian reports. Ms. Holcomb.
I think we need to table this until we can talk to both of them.
Okay.
Motion? I'll motion that we table the consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott P. Owens as city attorney until we are able to sit down and be able to talk to both of them.
Okay. Second. Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to table the appointment, table the consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney until such time both attorneys can be interviewed by council. Council discussion. Mr. Cruz.
What timeline are we looking at?
Sooner rather than later. I don't know Mr. Owens's or Mr. West's availability for a meeting at this time.
Because when you table something, you need to set a date and a time where you're going to bring this item back up. So my recommendation is that the item be tabled until the earliest convenient date for both candidates can be here.
There was already a motion on the floor.
I'd entertain an amendment to Ms. Holcomb's motion that that item be tabled until the July 11th meeting. And you can reconsider it at that time. If nothing else, we'll at that point, we'll have either the candidates will be there, or we'll have more information for you. As far as I do not see scheduling a date between now and July 11th.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, motion's been withdrawn. Mr. Michelson, do you concur with withdrawal? Okay. Is there another motion on the floor then? Mr. Cruz.
I move this issue of awarding the contract to either of the two law firms be tabled until the July 11th council meeting.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb, excuse me.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Cruz and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to table the issue of appointing the city attorney until the July 11th meeting.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, it's not the motion I made. The motion I made was to table this agenda item until the July 11th meeting to award the contract to either of the law firms. Okay. The original item was you open bids for a contract. So that's what you're actually dealing with is awarding a contract, not appointment of an attorney. It's actually it's actually awarding a contract.
I think it could be considered either way. The record is noted that, on how you verbalized your motion. Is there a second? Excuse me. Okay, you've seconded the clarification. To clarify, and it's my understanding that Brian's treating this the same way, we're not treating this as an award of a contract, but we are treating this as an appointment. It's somewhat of a quasi position where traditionally in other communities it would maybe be a position that's employment, and so it would be a formal appointment. We've treated this position as a contract, but nonetheless it is a contract for a position which is expressly defined in Montana code and in our municipal code. And so that's the direction or the rationale behind why it's agendized the way it is. Further discussion on Mr. Cruz's motion. Public comment. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. I'm just wondering, when the contracts were opened and discussed, what was the variance between the two offers, between Mr. West and the new individual?
Based on 10 hours a month, they were identical.
And so if they were identical, why are we seeking new counsel when, again, Mr. West is familiar with the situation that the community is in? If they were identical, again, we are going to pay to train somebody when Mr. West is already familiar with this. So I kind of, again, find it hard to believe that we are under budget constraints, but we're willing to pay for somebody to go to school when we already have somebody trained.
Further public comment? Any further council discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
And Councilmember Cruz?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll revisit this on July 11th. Next item is discussion decision, consent to the mayor's appointment of Robert Underwood as finance officer and approving compensation of $21 an hour. Mr. Underwood has joined us tonight. If you'd like to raise your hand there. He was one of two or three applicants for that position, specifically finance. We had a few that were crossovers and applied for both positions. The police clerk and I held interviews and got to know some of these candidates that we put forward for interview. Mr. Underwood's credentials are expressed in his resume and cover letter. Frankly, are quite impressive, and I think he's going to contribute quite a bit to the organization in a positive way. So with that, consistent with the structure of our organization, I'm asking for consent to my appointment of Mr. Underwood and asking you to approve his compensation at $21 an hour. Mr. Michelson.
May I ask what the previous financial officer was getting an hour? April.
She was in the $24 an hour and change. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we consent to the mayor's appointment of Robert Underwood as finance officer and approving compensation of $21 per hour.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to consent to the mayor's appointment of Robert Underwood as finance officer and approving compensation of $21 an hour. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
After talking with a certain individual this evening, I think this is going to be a good appointment. He comes very highly recommended by some that work for the county, so I would suggest that we forward with this and appoint Mr. Underwood.
Further discussion from council? Public comment on the appointment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
And Councilmember Cruz?
Aye.
All right, that concludes the business portion of tonight's agenda.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you, Robert, for being here. And we'll work out an official starting date for Mr. Underwood. Under the executive report, I just have a couple of items I'd like to brief you on before next Thursday's meeting. And that is the well field, primarily, and the water restrictions. I spoke with Mr. Thomas today regarding the water restrictions, and he's determined that effective on Friday, we can lift the restrictions 100%. Right now, the only restrictions that are in place apply to sprinklers and irrigation systems. Sprinklers and irrigation systems are still restricted and cannot be used, but on Friday, those can be turned back on and you can begin using those again. On Monday, our contractor worked to install one of our larger pumps in the wells, and that was a successful install. The water test came back from that today and was good to go, and so that pump is fully online and the reservoir is filling, and in fact is full already. And the other pump was installed today. And is operating. The water test was delivered to Missoula this afternoon, and we should have that water test back in a 24-hour period. So with that, we're back up and running with all but one well in service. There's the one well that's still out of service is the one that we've had multiple problems with since it's been installed. And I believe we've installed nearly three or four pumps into that well over the years. In the interest of the investment that the community makes into these wells, or into these pumps rather, which is close to a $20,000 figure, we stopped putting pumps in, and I know that frustrated people when we were without some water there for a while, and people wondered why did this go unaddressed for nearly a year. And the reason for that is again, the investment that goes into these pumps. These pumps are manufactured in Colorado, then shipped to Spokane, and then we receive them here. It's not something that's just stocked on the shelf at True Value. And while it'd be easy just to keep putting pumps in, again, that's an expensive process. HDR Engineering has been analyzing and working on pump curves and all of the operation of that entire well field to make sure that everything's running as it should. At least one of the pump failures we experienced earlier this year, we had anticipated may happen based on the numbers that their analysis saw. When that pump failure occurred, we replaced the pump right away. And we're not inclined to put a pump into this other well until the redevelopment or the development and rehabilitation is complete. That's been ordered. They're on their way over from Butte. I think the late part of this week or early part of next week to complete that process. Redevelopment was done on that well shortly after it was done, and that process was cut short. According to George, he thought maybe it had something to do with the funding issue. We don't have that funding issue today, and so we're fully developing that well and making sure that whatever we put into that, whatever as far as a pump goes, we put into that well, it's not something that we're going to replace in 6 months to 9 months. We feel that that's just irresponsible with the ratepayers' money. So again, as of 12:01 Friday morning, you can turn your sprinkler timers back on. Water regulations, our standard water regulations, will remain in effect, which means your assigned days and your assigned times based on whether you water with hoses or with sprinkler systems, and those are posted on our website. Postcards will go out to pretty much every door in the city early next week, letting them know about what those hours are, just as a reminder. And folks who have questions about that, they're welcome to call the Public Works Department, and we're happy to share that information if they're unable to find it. And we will be diligent about enforcement of those hours and those days through the rest of the summer, because it is important that we allow the reservoir to recharge and give our system a break, certainly on Sundays. There's no watering on Sundays. In this debacle of the wells, we have found where there are holes with communication to the public, especially in time of emergency where we're trying to conserve water. We appreciate everyone's patience, and believe me when I tell you, when people are upset that we're knocking on doors at 5 a.m. trying to ask people to shut their sprinklers off, it's not a hobby we get into on Saturday morning or on Sunday morning. It's something we take very seriously, to disrupt our neighbors and asking them to turn their water off. But we were at a point where we had a foot and a half to 2 feet of water, and it was quickly dropping because everyone's sprinklers kicked on at midnight and they didn't heed the warnings. We've initiated robocalls. Please make sure if you have a water account with us, or if you don't and you're a renter, please let us know that you have a phone number that you'd like to be called. We found that all of our water accounts are in landlords' names, not in tenant names. So tenants usually don't get the message. Such was the case with the comment earlier. We don't keep tenant information, but with the new robocall system we've implemented, we can store that information so that they get the notifications. And we look forward to being able to use that system as we move into other situations, certainly with snow removal as an issue in the past and fire season. We think that that'll be an effective way to keep people in the loop and informed. So that's something never been deployed before, and we're eager to kind of test that out and work out the kinks. I think that covers everything on the well field. On the budget, I believe I sent an email this week, and bear with me as my days get crosswise with dealing with the water issue with George. We worked through the weekend. So on the budget committee, as you're all aware, the ad hoc budget committee was appointed a three-member committee. They met last week and went through as much of the proposed budget that was available. There's still some fine-tuning that the administration is working through, and now that Mr. Underwood is on board, that will move much more rapidly, since I don't have to juggle the duties of that position and the budget at the same time. I can kind of put some of that back onto him. And so we will see budget progress move much more quickly. We're going to incorporate some of the budget committee's comments and recommendations into the preliminary budget document. They'll get one more chance to review that at the end of July, and then right after that it will come to council for your review before going to a public hearing. So you'll have your chance to review the preliminary budget document as a whole with any recommendations that the committee provides. Those will be an appendix in the document so that you can see exactly what the committee is looking at from a public input perspective. So that's where we are on the budget. So within the first 2 weeks of August, which is standard practice for many communities, we should have a budget adopted or very close to that. So we still haven't received our taxable valuation from the state anyway. With that, I think that hits the two main pieces of the executive report. Otherwise, the administration continues to juggle the issues that arise as we can, given the availability of staff. I will adjust just real quickly. I do have a candidate to bring forward on July 11th for town clerk. She reached out to me late yesterday and accepted that position. So you'll see town clerk appointment come forward for Monica Hoffman at the July 11th meeting. Should you consent to that appointment, she's scheduled to start as soon as the end of July. So she does have to give notice to her employment. That concludes the executive report. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Adjourn.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
How about town council comment?
It's not on the agenda. I thought in the interest of time we'd move along and you'd have comments at the next meeting. If there's nothing further and we have a motion and a second to adjourn, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Please adjourn. Thanks, everybody. Oh, you want that signed.